It's kind of like the old caption that we used to see. I don't see it much anymore, but it's the poster of Uncle Sam pointing out. And what's it say? Uncle Sam what? Uncle Sam wants you. Jesus, you see, is looking at all of us, not like Uncle Sam does, but with eyes of love and compassion, saying, I need you. I have a specific purpose for you. I created you for one or two or maybe several specific things that I need you for. I need you to fulfill, or my plan will have a hard time coming to fruition. And you'll only discover that purpose in Jesus. Well, lesson two. Don't let anyone discourage you from praising the Lord. Verse 38 tells us the people were shouting and singing their praises to Jesus with loud voices. Then in verse 39, the Pharisees told Jesus to rebuke his disciples. In other words, you know, have them toned down. They're causing a scene. Come on. Shh, 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 shh. We don't want to cause a scene, do we? Well, Jesus refused to pour cold water on their enthusiasm. You see, the scene is reminiscent of when David was king, and David came into the city, except David was bringing the Ark of the Covenant. If you can picture this in your mind's eye, David was bringing the Ark of the Covenant into the city for its resting place, and the Ark of the Covenant represented the glory of God, the glory of God to the Hebrew people. And every six or eight steps, they would make praises to God. They would offer sacrifices. They would stop and praise God and offer sacrifices. You see, David was so overjoyed, the Bible says, that he danced before the Lord with all of his might. When's the last time we have praised God with all of our might? When? Can you think of a time when you've danced and praise God with all of your might? Well, David's wife, one of Saul's daughters, had kind of a Pharisaic spirit, and she criticized her husband, criticized David, and said he was making a fool out of himself. I wonder if maybe they changed the word there, speaking of donkeys. But David rebuked her, and he told her to stop, because he would not stop celebrating before the Lord. Instead, he was going to be even more energetic in his praise. You see, my question today is, are you living a life of praise? Or have you allowed some Pharisee in your life to calm you down? Have you allowed some Pharisee in your life to silence your praise of your Creator and your Redeemer? See, praising the Lord is not just something we do in worship. At least, I hope we do it in worship. It's a constant attitude. In fact, let's think about this for a minute. If we praise the Lord in worship and don't praise the Lord outside of this building, what does that make us? And we wonder why people who are outside of the Christian realm call Christians hypocrites? Because we praise God in service and we grumble outside, don't we? We can always find something to grumble about, can't we? Well, it sure is easy for me. You see, a life of praise is a daily attitude. Charles Swindoll writes something that's very powerful to me. Do you possess an attitude of praise? Charles says, the longer I live, the more I realize that attitude is more important than facts. Attitude is more important than the past. Attitude is more important than education, than money, than circumstances, than failures, than successes. You see, attitude will make or break a company. Attitude will make or break a church family. Attitude will make or break a home.